Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today, Hellcat, we welcome the return of indefatigable Diane Wilson, fourth generation fisherwoman, original, effective, deliberate, unreasonable woman. The word deliberate comes from Libra. We are both Libras. And it comes from two verbs, librari, to liberate, and libari, to balance. So when we're deliberate, like Diane, we're in a state of liberating balance. Wilson previously won a landmark settlement in 2019 from her lawsuit against Formosa Plastics over plastic pollution in the Matagorda Bay system. Runoff from the proposed Exxon plant would drain into the same waterways like Cox Creek that are part of a multi-million dollar cleanup effort funded by the settlement. In her new lawsuit, and there's more, which was filed in Calhoun County District Court, Wilson alleged numerous violations of public notice requirements. Welcome, Diane.
Oh, glad to be here, Caroline. Thank you.
You are deliberate, and I re-looked up indefatigable because it could be one of your many middle names. It means that cannot be wearied.
Oh, thank you. Believe it or not, I saw that word, and I was going to look it up, too, because I didn't know what it meant. But I appreciate that because I read something one time, and it said one of the worst things that you really have to be aware of is this: when you get weary and you still hang on. So I appreciate you describing me there, because it does, to be weary and to keep continuing. That's very important.
And also, don't you love deliberate? But it comes from Libra.
Liberate. For me, I call it a real focus. And when I put my attention on something and I really focus, I truly believe you create change. It's like you're using some kind of cosmic secret, and you are able to create change. And I really think there is something into that deliberation, that focus, and intention. I'm a big believer in it, yes.
Well, so let's put many things on the work table. I remember once years ago you saw me shuffling notes for a thing, like going, and you said, I'd go crazy if I have to do that. And I keep that in mind always, going, just be like Diane and show up, except that you're filing all these lawsuits and taking all these water samples. Right.
Yes.
Thank the gods for you. And so let's think of you putting things out on the our work table that we want to support and see the desirable outcome, you know, and also for us to reciprocally bless you, replenishing, you know, again, that you be safe and effective and, you know, all those good things. And we draw on everything. I'm burning mugwort now. Mugwort is perfect because it protects boundaries and enhances dreaming, right? So safe enough to dream.
Yes, dreaming is good. When, you know, I'm kind of in a rural spot down here, and I don't have a lot of your peer groups with you because it's so isolated, and I know that is one thing that where I get direction and support is when I have dreams, and dreams have been real clear for me and real instructive and very supportive. I remember one time I did a very hard action. It was a difficult decision, and I really didn't know if I was doing the right thing. And that night I had a dream, and I was and it was written across the sky in glitter. It said, doing a good job. And but it just did an afterthought. It said, but don't get the big head. But it, you know, I really do. I feel like dreams can be enormously helpful, and that's where I get a lot of my support. I really do.
No, that's great. No, not only are we both Librans, but we both have the sun in Libra right next to Neptune, which is dreams, vision, imagination, hence Visionary Activist Show. We aspire to be that. You are that. So we've got the mugwort for you. And then somebody just sent me, an ally, Rita Fiedler, just sent me what herbalist Matthew Wood had said about agrimony. He said, agrimony, so we can think of this as an atmospheric mist. He said, the most reliable thing I know in herbalism is that agrimony will establish justice. We go,
well, that's
okay.
Good.
That's good. Right.
So is that a plant? You got it?
It's a plant. Yeah, it's a plant. It's a homeopathic remedy. Yeah, no, exactly. No, that's right. Yes, everybody send us some agrimony and spray it over Washington and Texas, because there you are toiling away in Texas. But Texas women are good, Jasmine Crockett, outspoken women like yourself, and Jasmine Crockett. It's like, you know, I do think like trickster quality, you know, and you know, Veronica Franco was one of the few women we know of accused of witchcraft by the Inquisition, and who stands up in front of the thing and goes, "No, not all my life. I will never succumb to the worst fate that can befall a woman, which is to be of utter inconsequence." And it's her outspokenness, and I got to tie this into you and Jasmine Crockett, that encourages the otherwise cowardly men of Venice to stand up and back her up, causing the Inquisition to say the entire city of Venice is damned and we're packing our bags and leaving, causing the entire city of Venice to go carnival, right? The woman hero, folklore hero, liberates the entire community. So I think of Veronica Franco coming into Jasmine Crockett, coming into you, right? Right. Right. And just that capacity you have to cross borders, whistleblowers, you know, so many things. But remember when we did the live show in a car, sweating?
Oh, yeah, I do, in the ditch. Yes, we did. Yeah.
We did with Pacifica Houston Station. And I will always remember, you know, it went out and we had callers. And a man calling up who seemed clearly, you know, a kind of Republican kind of guy. But he said, "That woman, whoever that woman Diane Wilson is, she's talking the truth. You know, I was working for Dow and they spread all this chemical poison out." Anyway, so yes, so you do resonate. You do resonate. And, you know, and so I have all these things you sent me, right?
Oh, but, good.
Yeah, and I'm posting them all, you know, posting everything in the promo and also in the Visionary Activist Patreon section and on KPFA's site and Coyote Network News site, you know, all of that. So right now, right, shall we start with Exxon proposes new plastics plant in Texas?
That's right. That they're kind of sneaking in. They thought they were going to be real quiet, and it was just rumors. I would get phone calls from these guys who were surveyors on the water, you know, doing all of these jobs for industry. And I kept getting these rumors that there was Exxon was trying to come in, and lo and behold, the very place the water keepers and Formosa and the remediation people, the very place they were cleaning years of plastic pellets was the very place Exxon bought. You know, it's around 4,000 acres. And to build a plastic plant just like Formosa, who is, believe it or not, across the street. And it's a small street. It's like 2-lane highway, and right across there is Formosa, 2,500 acres, 3,000 workers, plastic. So we've got like these twins on this really funky highway, and wanting to pollute more bays and creeks and communities and workers, and it's a mess. It's a real mess. They couldn't have picked a worse spot.
Right. So where is that out at right now, and what would you like us to see and support, and how can we support your actions in this to prevent Exxon from...
Well, what we're doing now is I think we were good in that we caught them right as they started. So one of the first steps they did was they tried to get a tax abatement from the school district, and they kept it very, very quiet, and you couldn't find out when it was going to be on, and you couldn't get fishermen there. And, you know, I had one time late at night, this woman called me, and she said, "Well, you going to the hearing?" And I said, "What hearing?" And she said, "Oh, it's like almost the next day." And so I was so angry. I managed to show up, but I was so angry that a plastic company can have the audacity to come in, intimidate a whole school district, so the people cannot even get a voice. And a matter of fact, most of my 3 minutes of speaking was not so much about Exxon, was about the outrage I felt of people not even being allowed a voice, not even giving us a chance to talk. They don't want to talk to us. In Texas, don't talk to people. Talk to the county commissioners. Talk to the Texas governor. Talk to the attorney general. Talk to economic development. But by God, don't talk to the people on the streets who live next door to these industry. You know, this we have 4 nuclear reactors trying to come in. We have got a $10 billion Exxon plastic plant, and we have got a $1 billion oil export that is trying to come in all at the same time, And it just, it blows my mind. And so it's just, I really feel like I'm just shooting from the hip as fast as I can to keep all of these. I mean, you cannot imagine worse projects. I mean, like, for instance, Dow Chemical, what used to be Union. You remember Union Carbide in that ditch we were in? This is the same place. Now Dow bought it out, and they're going to put in 4 modular nuclear reactors, and they are going to get it to run their chemical plant, make more plastic. And right now, I was just out at their outfalls in the middle of the bay picking them all the plastic that they were letting go. So they are saying they can handle all this invisible radiation when they can't even take care of the visible plastic rolling out of their little outfalls. You know, it just...
Yeah,
the irony
and it's the polyethylene as well. I keep thinking that I've been restudying the Delphic Oracle and the Pythia, the priestess of the Oracle. They would inhale ethylene, right? And it's like, oh, that's right. Let's turn the polyethylene back into ethylene, so we're all prophets, so we're all Pythias, right? There we go. That's a much better thing. Well, what have we done? Yeah, so. It's all one story, isn't it? I mean, we've outsourced authority to you know, criminal, churlish, incompetent, up to no good. You know, relentless. You're indefatigable, and we back you. But relentless in terms of like, well, and thank goodness your eagle eye, you know, and your information is like, it's sneaky. So the lawsuit,
they're very sneaky. They're really, you know, I remember at one, not too long ago, I had the, you know, we had this researcher, and she did this really dynamite study on the mercury contamination that was in the bay and related to the levels in the fish and the crabs and all of these things. And so we were presenting it to this community down here who had never heard that kind of information before. And what did the port do? The port of Calhoun, they came into that meeting with a box of lollipops and said they were passing them out to the suckers in that meeting. And they just went around handing out lollipops. And they had also, I was told by one of my whistleblowers, he said, they had also got a man to just come in and cause us trouble. But the man was so drunk, he couldn't cause all the amount of trouble he was supposed to have caused. It's like, you know, this is the type of things we get. I mean, just this crazy chaos they try to spin down here.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's I mean, you're right there with the precision horror, you know, but it is, again, everywhere, right? All sorts of, and I keep reaching back to David Graeber, wonderful Eneco historian who wrote the Dawn of Everything, and before he died, he said, remember, humans, that humans have always had the capacity to transform from a authoritarian community to an egalitarian community in what might seem like a historic instant. It's like, okay, I mean, you are a great trickster, which is, you know, against all odds brings you alive. You go, against all odds, I'm in, right? So, yeah. So the lawsuit asks the judge to void the school board's decision at that meeting.
That's so, right. Yeah, and it gives us a new hearing. So it's not a win in such that, you know, we just automatically stop them, but we get a honest and fair chance of speaking our minds, and then, you know, and then we'll go from there, because I guarantee you that's not the only trick up our sleeves. We got plenty of them. Never run.
You do.
You do. Never.
And we're here to strengthen and support, and you know, all that you do. I am looking at your chart just for fun. You have an exact Mercury Pluto quintile, 72-degree angle, which is irresistible eloquence when speaking to the community about danger. You do. It's a capacity to you don't even have to persuade anybody. You have a capacity through when you speak, it becomes like a tuning fork in others, in which they go, oh, I see that now. I see that now. And my friend Sylvia always says,
good.
It is good. We're gonna plump this up. And Mars today is right on your Neptune, going, your dream. We're here to support your vision of, you know, the desirable thing. So just give you a microphone now, and it will hum in all the listeners, going, oh. I mean, throughout your whole life, but like especially now, we're gonna really work on this here. And your dream, like what is and what should be. Right, because it's so poignant. Right. I watched the short Hellcat documentary.
Oh, really?
Like really, it's great. It's 2.5 minutes, but very dense and chewy. So people would send you letters just to Hellcat, right?
Believe it or not, they did. In the post office lady, she sent them to my mailbox. She really, really did. I mean, she wasn't one of these people that was really loose. You know, she was pretty strict, but she just absolutely figured she knew who to send them to, and it came right to me. And it was meant for me. The
right.
Person who wrote it was anonymous, but they were directing it at me. And it, so yeah, I was. That's amazing how that came, just on the ether.
And they were writing in a kind of critical negative way, or.
Oh, my God, yeah, it was one of the workers in the plant. It was a worker inside the plant who was giving me information. And believe it or not, that was the first time I was told that Formosa was starting this multi-billion plastic expansion. It was the largest Texas had ever seen. And it was one of those secret things. Nobody knew about it. Fishermen certainly didn't know about it. But this worker in a plant anonymously sent it to me.
So I got
a lot of them to do it. A lot of them have done that type of stuff.
So he called you Hellcat as a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. That's great.
And I do, and I take it as a compliment.
Definitely. definitely. You know, now let's just bring in all the trickster women in the world, backwards and forwards. You know, Mirabai was a great heretic poet in 14th century India, I think. But she wouldn't obey rules, and so her outraged family sent her a venomous snake, and she says, "You sent me a venomous snake. I wear it as a necklace." Right. So anyway, so it's all of these spicinesses that we want. So what is your most desirable vision for this lawsuit? And then let's go to everything else that you're addressing.
Well, it's to keep them out. And I really do. I mean, this is a $10 billion plant. It's an Exxon is like a $33 billion profit every year. And the thing that is I do not see that is impossible. I really believe that we can keep them out. And that is my intention. And to me, when it's your intention, there is, you know, I believe like you do, Caroline, it's this energy. And I truly believe nature is alive, and it is in harmony with what I do. I really believe that.
No, it's completely true, and we see it. We see it. Your son, quintiles abounding, irresistible eloquence, and the capacity to open portals between worlds. You are wealthy with this, and your son, quintiles Ceres, little dwarf planet, goddess of the earth. But yeah, you work for her. You know, and you speak on her behalf, and it resonates. It resonates, you know. So your lawyer said Texas law exists to ensure citizens have a voice before communities commit hundreds of millions in tax subsidies to corporations with troubling environmental records. Right? They're getting this huge tax break. Please come poison us, right?
Yeah. And the thing that is, they already, when I finally talked, because apparently what they do when they come into these little communities, they go to Chamber of Commerce, the doctors, they go to economic development, they go to the county commissioners. Anyway, so they've been meeting these people, and one of these marine agents, he's kind of like hired by the state to kind of work with fishermen. Anyway, he was at one of these meetings, and he said he heard like Exxon went up to Formosa and said, "What are you going to do?" And Formosa said, "What do you mean, what am I going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to get your workers." And the thing of it is when I found out that he had been having all of these meetings with Exxon and the fisherman knew nothing, I kind of poked him in the chest a few times and said, "I am getting a meeting with those guys." And we got a meeting with them, and they pretty much admitted they are going to be discharging into the very very creek that we had spent 3 years with, was 3,000 truckloads, going to cost $50 million, and sometimes having to go as deep as 3 feet of plastic. That's what we're talking. That's what we got. And here they are. They're going to put their discharge right in that body of water. And it's like, the audacity. And I'm like, "Don't you know we're in the middle of a cleanup?" And they said, "Oh, we don't put out pellets. Oh, no, we don't do that."
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we all deal with lying, but you really deal with lying. If we could compost lying into a renewable fuel, we'd be set for an energy future. So we want to compost lying, compost corruption into the composting lying and corruption. Same thing. Yeah, and calling on the earth. I like Oya. Santeria version of Uranus, she hurls her horsetail whip and summons the winds of change and sluices corruption out and lies, you know, may words flee from the mouths of liars in which they go, So, yes, all of this, your efficacy and your positive magic mojo. So there's that. Yeah. And then let's see, I've opened all the things you sent me. So this is the San Antonio Bay Estuary Waterkeepers Challenge for nuclear reactors and forever radioactive waste in Calhoun County. So this is a separate thing.
Right. That's a whole nother project. And it's it's the first one that's ever been done in the United States. You know, where
really?
Are they going to put the first one that's never been done, never been tested? They have not even built the place to make the little pebbles that they talk about. They haven't even built the thing to test them. And here they are promising... you know, and some of these things have like a 36 million half-life and, you know, was it iodine 129 or something other like that. And it's like, and the fact of it is we are right on the water, right on San Antonio Bay. And an interesting thing is, you know, everybody knew what happened with the Guadalupe when it flooded up in Kerrville and all up there and the tragedy and all of this crazy, crazy flooding. It's like Guadalupe Bay, I mean, Guadalupe River ends right at the foot of Union Carbide Dow, right in our community. That is the main river that comes into San Antonio Bay. And it's like, and here they want to put all of these nuclear reactors and they're going to have to take care of all the waste for God knows civilizations out there until the dinosaurs come back around again. I don't know what they're thinking, but it's totally, totally nuts. And like I said, it's because they want to run and their facility to make more plastic. Yeah. So that's another little project I got.
No, the God's bless you. God's bless you. That's it. Well, do you remember back when we met at the Council on Reasonable Women, really named after you, and at that point there was a plan to store nuclear waste at the base of Yucca Mountain, and I said to our group, going, all right, let's invite Yucca Mountain to express her opinion, and some of the more rational people were like, it's like, give it a try, come on. So they're like, oh, okay, we'll do that. So we invite Yucca Mountain to express her opinion. The next day, there was an earthquake at the base of Yucca Mountain causing them to change plans. So again, let's talk to the Bay. Yeah. Anything for which we have a word, there's a presiding deity, you're very in touch with that too. But we'll touch on this and then play an inspiring song and then come back to this. But and also, you know, the promo for our show, I put everything that you sent me in that so people can find out with contacts and you know, how to find out more about it, how to participate, you know. But it is this week, San Antonio Bay Estuary Waterkeepers intervened to stop four proposed experimental nuclear power plants. Well, let's invite San Antonio Bay to express its opinion. Right. Well, Hurricane, I mean, yes, the if we can also compost and metabolize conniption fits, like...
Yes, yes. And she can. She can.
Okay.
She can do that.
Is that outside your adorable Sea Drift home?
Oh, like, no. Believe it or not, this is one of those, you know, like sometimes strange things will happen, and it's kind of like it's a strange little special rock, and you have no idea, and you stick it in your pocket, and you just carry this rock around with you for your whole life, but I have this special rock, and you talk about the energy out there with the weather, and it's like I know one time I was I used to be a disc thrower. You know, when I played sports, I played solitary sports, so I did shot puts and I did the discus. And so one time, when I was like in I don't know, maybe 11th grade, I was practicing throwing the disc, and that wind was like 40 miles an hour gull winds blowing like crazy. And, you know, and here you are, 11th grade, and you got all of this internal, you know, and I got so upset. I just turned around and looked at that wind and said, stop it. And by God, that wind stopped.
Yes.
And I, you know, and I've read about these indigenous chiefs that were real good about that, and they could do things with that weather. And it's like, strange experience.
Right. No, no. Magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, including the wind, right? So our wonderful guest is Diane Wilson. We're going to take a short musical break that is relevant. We're going to play S.J. Tucker's Outlast, which is good. It's somber, but it's really good. And we'll be right back. Hang in. The song is useful. We'll be right back with Diane Wilson and more how we can support her and the earth. Here we go. Outlast. Good, right?
That was a real good one. I like it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. That's S.J. Tucker. That's really good. It's like, well, Libra, you embodiment, you know, cooperate with everything, cooperate with the wind. You stop that. Many things that we've forgotten that rise up in you and rise up in ourselves. I just remember my late friend Marcelino Cruces Santero. From Cuba, and he remembers sitting with his grandmother having tea and cookies, and out the window a tornado was forming across the field, and his grandmother just kept pouring milk and cookies and didn't even turn around, just took scissors and went snip, 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 and the tornado dissipated. He never forgot that. It's like, we want to dust these things off. We want to dust these things off. And yeah, remembering the floods recently in Texas and building this place in a flood zone for nuclear waste that will last for, you know, perpetuity. And it's like, and so you're so good at, and we aspire to carry your message. Like, did you know You know, because nobody minds being asked, did you know? Did you know about this? Did you know the half-life? Did you know the danger to everything? You know, and then here's, you know, here's how it, you know, what is and what should be, you know, again, that humming in everyone, that, because somewhere everyone loves their land, somewhere, right? Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, well, I know I do, and I used to even puzzle about it, because to me, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, because I've been doing this 40 years now, and people are really curious why I last so long at it. And I'm like, whole thing is my real love for the water, and I believe it is alive. You know, I had a vision when I was just a kid. I think I've repeated this story, but I really did, and I think everybody has it. And I think the Homo sapiens as a body has it, and we have lost it. And the reason why I have kept this connection is that I was fortunate to have been born in a matter of fact, it's probably one of the last authentic fishing villages on the whole Texas Gulf Coast. And it is fishermen in the bays, in the water, in the wind. And it is, and when I was little and I would go down on the bay to see my dad come in with shrimp, it's like there was an old woman down there. She really was down there. And she never really spoke to me, but it was this closeness. I really thought she was my grandmother, and I liked to go down there because she liked me. And later I realized I really saw the bay. She made herself real to me. And so with a vision like that, you do not forget it. And I have not forgotten it. And so every time I feel any threat to the bay, I get this energy just boils up into me and is like, they are not going to get that bay. They are not getting it. And, you know, I believe it's real, you know.
Yes.
And she presented herself to me.
No, that's inspiring and real completely. And again, you have another Neptune Jupiter quintile. You're so wealthy with influence and good. And that was called by the sort of grumpy medieval astrologers, but they had their merit. The Jupiter, they called it having a guardian angel, which I think you really do. I've seen it. Seen it. It's like, whoa, you know. And we'll talk about Brer Rabbit and prison and everything. But and I love the guardian angel. The bay itself, you know, and then your grandmother who liked you, because you do go pretty deep. And if you ever get discouraged, it's like a wise, like the bay or your grandmother comes up behind you and goes, let's make tea, Diane. Okay, just snap the thing and refocus. And the other way is that I love is each intelligence in us, each planetary intelligence has a default setting. You know, but your Jupiter's default setting is curiosity and storytelling, right? And that's like the best guardian angel.
Oh, it is. Oh, you got that right. You got that one right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So because, you know, other parts of us can go, but your Jupiter goes, all right, what's the story? How interesting. Let's go. That indefatigable. And because I remember, again, trickster like Brer Rabbit, right? So I can't remember when or how many times they threw you in prison. It's like Brer Rabbit, don't throw me in the briar patch. Don't throw me in prison. I'll only organize, which you did, right?
Which I really, really did. And matter of fact, what came out of my long-term jail serving is we got, now it's over 10 years of the Texas Jail Project, and it's the only jail advocacy for inmates, for family, for the 254 county jails in Texas. And we know they are pretty awful, and a lot of people have died. And so anyway, that came from me going to jail. So it's like there is meaning. It's very, the things are very meaningful, and I may not And the thing with it is, that's like a lesson is like a lot of times you do something and you have no idea where that is leading. You just have this strong feeling you need to go there. And then these things happen and it just blows your mind. And it's like, and so I think sometimes we need to not be so planned out, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Room for magic. Really, really. I think there was one time I read something about luck and they were talking about is like when you have things really, really cemented and in step and planned, it's like the magic of luck comes mm-hmm. when there is more fluidness and yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. When we're available is a wonderful word. It means effective for good. So we're available, we're effective for good. I love that. And there was this quirky study in Britain on luck, not quite as good as what you said, which is true. It's about availability and leaving room for, but they kind of proved that luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. Oh, I just found this money. Oh, yeah. I just met you. Let me buy you a drink. Oh, you're funding my project. You know, and so it's leaving room for like, and I think what you're also great at, which we all want to do is wonder magnetizes responsive luck and augury. Like, I wonder how I'm going to do that. Oh, okay. Here it is. Yeah. So self-assembling. And I think that's what makes it, you know, and your beautiful dedicated life and all that you are an advocate for really all of us, you know, that it's that sense of, well, whatever you love loves you, you know, and the bay, the working people, that. And so against all odds, you know, it's for everybody here. I love the image for your little asteroid Vesta is coal miners emerging from a dark pit into sunlight. And we go, we see it, you know, and so with your new lawsuit, well, there's many here, right, that you're doing, but, you know, what would you like, you know, Saturn and Neptune are conjoined. It's really kind of our kind of time right now. It's vision and action. So, you know, and we can all say together, we see it. What would you like us to see in
I tell you what, I really wish people would see is like, it is not just me or someone like me or any of that. I mean, it's like all of us. And if we look out what is going on right now, it's like if each one of us can take that, you know, it's that little, I don't know, boldness or intention and put it out there for what is directly in front of them. And that way we can change. Because the thing of it is what is going on in my little town started some other places. And so if there can be this homogeneous, this coming together with all that energy and intention, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is everywhere. So my little town is Washington, D.C., right? And although the witch lives outside. I'm living outside, you know, just 20 minutes outside because that's where the witch lives. But along the river, and the dogs and I can send blessings down the river into the Capitol. But many people have pointed out, you know, noticed this, that, I mean, the weather has been spookily pleasant for August, like 80 degrees, low humidity. But nobody is on the mall. I mean, it's like a pandemic, except that there are these music festivals. That's their code word for, you know, these arising of hip hop and gathering and joy and defiance. And that's there's tyranny everywhere in the world, but also community and humans, you know, rising aroused, you know, and even, you know, in Israel we go, yeah, the protesters, we support that. The governments are cults, but people are rising aroused. And so, yeah, in D.C., so I've been humming on all kinds of things. And we say, you know, yes, what's right in front of us. And I was invited over the weekend to someplace I'd never heard of. It's right on Embassy Row, but hidden. It was the Hellenic Institute and on the Delphic Oracle, and it's this little magic. I've never seen it. I grew up here. I've never seen it. I've never turned right on Whitehaven Parkway. And it's a dead end street and with a gate, you know. And then it's this incredible, and the gatekeeper with the gate is like, "Oh, no, you don't need to park on the street. Let me open the gate for you." And I go, "Oh, that's a good augury. Thank you very much." Okay. You know, and it's this magic, deep, atmospheric place right in the heart of DC, but hidden and secret. And it was like a safe haven. And it's like, okay, well, this is my assignment here. I'm in this safe haven, humming, you know, the people, you know, turn all the polyethylene back into ethylene, which they used at the Delphic Oracle, turn all that, you know, and they're like, yes. And sitting next to the trees, you know, it was, you know, there was a beautiful fig tree. And then I was really magnetized to this laurel tree. And I was like, the laurel tree. And like, you know, forehead to tree, like we do, like, ooh. And I almost pulled out my phone, but the laurel tree and me were like, no, don't do that. I was going to pull out my phone to go, I wonder where the planets are. It's like, no, I'm sorry, say what?
I said, you were going to pull your phone out and take a selfie. You and the tree.
No. Well, I was just going to look and see where the planets were, and it's like, you know, just be here. Just be like Diane. Just, you know, it's like, you're right. Thank you. Just bleep and put the phone down and be here and feel the alliance, you know, make, you know, I think what you do, it's like there's the action. And then for all of us to be willing, you know, the powerfulness of now, you know, and what kind of revolution is rising up here. And it's like not as brutal as the American Revolution, which was pretty brutal. You know, it's a trickster revolution of humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius. Yeah. You know, that's the deal with the bay and with the thing and the whatever. And then, you know, paths open that are, as you know, as you live, are miraculous.
They do.
You know,
it's miraculous. It really is. It feels like Christmas all the time. It feels like I have no idea what is going to happen. But it's a beautiful feeling of it's coming. You know, when I remember someone was talking about, or maybe it was that lady in India, she talked about she could hear the new thing coming and she could hear her breathing. And it's like, that's what it's like. Yeah.
Right, and I just want to, you know, everything that's ever been useful to us is rising up. So years and years ago on this show, we're about to have the 30-year anniversary of the Visionary Activist Show, holy moly. But so decades ago, I was talking with somebody on the air and we were saying, you know, the phrase, another world is possible. It's like, it's okay, but it's a little plaintive. Another world is possible, but it probably won't happen. And so we put out on the airwaves that we were taking calls at that time, you know, any better words. And whoever you are, some really hip, black citizen from Oakland called up and said, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. How about percolating? Another world is percolating. We're on the turf debating how to get it percolating. And I'm like, I love you, whoever you are. That's a stone I kept in my pocket. Another world is percolating. Right, we're on the turf debating how to get it percolating. Wonderful. Again, may our language also, you know, and you're so good, you know, again, what's right in front of us, we can get overwhelmed by the 10,000 things. And it's like, well, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? I mean, you're good that way, right?
And it shows up. Yeah. When you step out, and I know people feel like they're stepping out into a void, and that's why they're reluctant to step. But when you step out there, a step will meet you. And then the other, and it's like, and that's being very much in the now. I mean, it's like, boom. And I really do. I feel like we're creating, we're making it happen.
Right. Well, and you know, again, and the lineage and what we're allowed to know now that was sort of suppressed by the reality police, you know, I often reference, you know, that Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass were animists. They knew that everything was alive. And Harriet Tubman associated her success in the Underground Railway and everything to the trees and the stars and the thing.
I did not know that. Wow.
No, there's this beautiful thing that I've forgotten that I used to read all the time on the radio, and it would make me weep. But it said Harriet viewed the planets as glorious messenger guides, and she viewed the deep water that she knew about, you know, as safe havens for those she was guiding to safety, and the heretic plants, the healing weeds, and the standing rocks that were landmarks to guide her way north. And then this beautiful phrase, by the end of her life, she had become these things, a guiding star, a healing plant, a replenishing water, and a guiding rock. And it's like, oh, yes,
wow.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, and Frederick Douglass also, you know, talk to trees. You know, again, this is part of our heritage, you know, visionary activism, because activism by itself, you know, we need alliances. It suffers from magic deficiency.
Oh, and so, we lose. It's kind of like we need to be doing stuff that it feeds our soul in this visionary stuff. Definitely, I mean, it's real, really real. You know, like real.
Yeah. Well, I want to keep talking with you, you know, on air and off about, you know, the opportunity being offered to us against all odds but necessary is a revolution out of this cauldron of horror and corruption and,
yeah,
and everything, to ladle out, you know, this invitation, because we have ingenious solutions in the whole realm of biomimicry and good people and, you know, we don't know how, but how is the last question. We want to dedicate to what, and then how gets magnetized, right? So that quality of this is a revolutionary time, but it's a revolution not brutal and challenging, not brutal and cruel like even the American Revolution really was,
yeah,
but one of ingenuity and, you know, inclusivity,
yeah,
and you're so good that way, and whistleblowers welcome. Whoa, yeah.
Oh yeah, so. Very much so. And the thing that is I know a lot of people were amazed, because, you know, I'm what a lot of people call a very red state, and most, yeah, like I think around this area, most people were like 87% Trump. But I guarantee you, all the workers I talked to, all of the ranchers I've been talking to, all of the fishermen I talked to, our politics has never came up. We have this concern for the injury that has been going on, and we all have it, and it's that has never been a division at all with us. You know, we have a commonality, and it's this planet, and it's our home, and it's our kids' health, and so it's, you know.
Yeah. No, it's what you're so good at, and what we all aspire to be good at too, which is, you know, to not start with the conflict or where we're different, start with the shared,
yeah,
vision. Like, isn't this a desirable vision?
Right.
You know, the water's clean, you know, inner city's blooming, a wonderful life for all children. Can we all agree on that? You know, let's start with the vision, and then avenues of possibility open up that weren't there before. If we start with realism, we're doomed. Right? So,
yeah.
Situation so dire.
That is
we can't afford the luxury of realism. Right. So it's like, so everybody here, you know, supporting Diane, supporting everything, there's nowhere that doesn't need protecting, right? But I want to put, you know, 5 drops of Diane Wilson in my coffee. Because you're so it's the vision and the competence, you know, the vision by, yeah, itself, no, competence by itself, no, but together, you know, you are again, indefatigable, dedicated. And, you know, when I rewatched the little Hellcat, you know, homage,
yeah,
to yourself, but I'd forgotten, you know, when you first took it on, I mean, a lot of animosity, and they trashed your boat, and the helicopter came over your house and shot your dog.
Right.
But whose helicopter was that?
Right.
Yeah, whose helicopter?
Well, the thing that is, it was, that's the thing around here, is you never know. I remember the cops would not even come down here until, you know, at that time it was my husband, now my ex-husband, but he had been in the Vietnam War, and the cops wouldn't come down here at all. That there'd been a helicopter and had been shootings, and they just said it was, he was having a Vietnam flashback, and they finally said, when they showed up, they said, well, if your wife ever gets arrested, we're going to put her in the loony bin. So it's like, it was a general feeling that it's almost kind of like a mob mentality. It's like, you know, it'd be a real good thing if she would quit making so much trouble. And I think it's just an unfortunate thing. You know, it's kind of what you see out now, this, you know, we wish they wouldn't be doing that. You know, that's not a good thing they're doing there. It's like, you know, I just wish they'd really stop that. And then someone comes up with the idea of getting a helicopter flying over your house, killing your dog, and
I mean, many, many terrible things, but killing your dog was like,
beautiful dog. Mm.
Oh, and you didn't, it didn't make you crazy?
No, I don't. And I think that is a good thing. I have got no fear of death anymore. I really don't. I've got a, matter of fact, I almost feel like death is an ally. It's one of my allies, and it's very freeing. I feel very free. I really do. It's so it's like,
however,
you know,
that's all very well, Diane. We're winding down now, but I want to spend our 96th birthday together just for the fun of it. Just humor me, Diane. Hang in here. Thank you so much, and we support you. We love you to and fro. Keep us informed. I'll spiral these things out, you know, in many forms. Again, Vision Actors Show Patreon, you know, you'll get all of Diane's files, but also really we posted them all on KPFA as well.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you. And thank you, Kirsten Thomas. Wonderful board up. Wonderful, great board up, Jeannie. So thank you, Diane. Thank you. Let us keep conversing in perpetuity. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Woof.
Absolutely. You take care of yourself, honey.
Okay, you too.